Roman A.C. Lodge, David Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of Mount Zion at the 12th Hour and the Elgin, Texas. Today is July 11, 2019. Hour is the ninth day of 8, 2023. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Who at My Door is Standing? At my door is standing, patiently drawing near. Entrance within demanding, loses the force of him. Sweetly the tents are falling, open the door for me. If trouble heeds my calling, I will abide with thee. Lonely without thee staying, lonely within am I. While I'm still delaying, will he not pass me by? Sweetly the tongues are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. All through the dark hours dreary, knocking again is he. Joshua down at me, waiting so long for me. Sweetly the tongues are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Door of my heart I hasten, thee will I open wide. Though he rebuke and chasten, he shall with me abide. Sweetly the tongues are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Part 5, Is Jesus Really God? We're going to continue until we finish Alan DeLong's compilation on page 10. ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. John 8:44-45. Thus Satan, as the devil, is as the father of lies, and he is as the originator of all of the false prophets. No, of all the false doctrine. Okay. For he uses his servants, the Jesuit order, for the spreading of these false teachings. And that is why the Trinitarian doctrine is in all the Protestant denominations, including the SDA today. Thus he is deceiving all mankind. And the whole world is wandering after the beast, Revelation 13:3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Yahweh, or that is worshipped, so that he as the Yahweh sits in the temple of Yahweh, showing himself that he is the Yahweh. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of the iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Yahweh, the Son, shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, when the second coming of Yahshua, and the visible coming in the clouds at the very end, after probation is closed. Now he comes before probation closed, because Yahshua is the one that comes and leads out and delivering this everlasting gospel to all nations. People don't realize that. We think that he's commissioned 144,000, and he has commissioned them. But he commissioned them to be his helpers. He's the one that's leading this everlasting gospel to be given to all the nations. He comes here in person and takes charge of it himself. That prophecy is in Ezekiel 1:26, where he came in his flying chariot, and he came, and he sealed his servants 144,000. He went back to heaven, reported the matter, and then he came back again to start the harvest. And to lead the way. Even him who is coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause the Yahweh, the Father, shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2:3-12. Let's continue now. Thus the man of sin, the papacy, deceives the whole world with his counterfeit system of the worship, false feast days, and false doctrines, of which the Trinity doctrine is the biggest snare of all. His power is after the working of Satan, with all deceitfulness and lying wonders and unrighteousness in them that perish. And he captures almost the whole world, because the world loves to believe a lie. How might you escape this destruction? You have to believe and love the truth that the Yeshua is not, that the Jesus is not God. Because only love of the truth will save your soul. Otherwise, Satan will send you strong delusion that you should believe a lie. His lie is that Jesus is God, and be damned. And where do the lovers of the lies end up? Blessed are they that did his commandments, that they might have a right unto the tree of the life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Revelation 22:14-15. Okay, remember, the first and great commandment is the Yeshua. Remember, okay, the Yahweh, our Yahweh, is only one Yahweh. And if you don't believe that, and instead believe that there are three gods, okay, let's do that again, as Alan wrote it here, for the Lord our God is one Lord. And if you don't believe that instead believe that there are three gods, and then you will end up outside the holy city with the rest of the wicked. Well, since Allen has left us, he joined up with a woman that claims to be a god, and so he's accepted her as his voice of inspiration, and she has beguiled him, so he's accepted her as a god, and then she changed Yahshua's name, the son, to Yasha, and Yasha is the identity of a false god. And so Alan DeLong, this very article he wrote to warn people about this believing wrongly in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, he wrote this article himself. He had it compiled. He compiled it together. And then he ends up going off and being deceived by the very thing that he wrote against. Okay, it says, why haven't Yahweh's people kept pace with the light instead of being total darkness? I saw a throne, and on it sat the Father and the Son. I gazed on the Jesus' countenance and admired his lovely person, the Father's person. I could not behold, for a cloud of the glorious light covered him. I asked Jesus if his Father had a form like himself. He said he had, but I could not behold it. For said he, if thou shouldst once behold the glory of his person, you would cease to exist. Before the throne I saw the advent people, the church, and the world. I saw two companies. One bowed down before the throne, deeply interested, while the other stood uninterested and careless. Those who were bowed before the throne would offer up their prayers and look to Jesus, then he would look to his Father and appear to be pleading with him. A light would come from the Father to the Son, and from the Son to the praying company. Then I saw an exceeding bright light come from the Father to the Son. And from the Son it waved over the people before the throne, but few would receive this great light. Many came out from under it and immediately resisted it. Others were careless and did not cherish the light, and it moved off from them. Some cherished it and went and bowed down with the little praying company. This company all received the light and rejoiced in it, and their countenances shone with its glory. I saw the Father rise from the throne and in a flaming chariot go into the Holy of Holies within the veil and sit down. Then Yahshua rose up from the throne, and most of those who were bowed down arose with him. I did not see one ray of the light passing from Jesus, as Allen puts it here, to the careless multitude after he arose, and they were left in the perfect darkness. Those who arose when Jesus did kept their eyes fixed on him as he left the throne and led them out a little way. Then he raised his right arm and we heard his lovely voice saying, "Wait here, I am going to my Father to receive the kingdom. But keep your garments spotless, and in a little while I will return from the wedding and receive you to myself." Then a cloudy chariot with wheels like flaming fire surrounded by the angels came to where Yahshua was. He stepped into the chariot and was borne to the holiest, where the Father sat. Then I beheld Yahshua, I'm going to start calling this by the sacred name, a great high priest standing before the Father. On the hem of his garment was a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate. Now as he rose up with the Yahshua, was sent up their faith unto him in the holiest and prayed, "My Father, give us thy spirit." And Yahshua would breathe upon them the Holy Spirit. In that breath was light, power, and much love, joy, and peace. I turned to look at the company who were still bowed before the throne. They did not know that Yahshua had left it. Satan appeared to be by the throne, trying to carry on the work of the Yahweh. I saw them both look up to the throne and pray, "Father, give us thy spirit." Satan would then breathe upon them an unholy influence. In it there was light and much power, but no sweet love, joy, and peace. Satan's object was to keep them deceived and to draw back and deceive Yahweh's children. Early writing, page 54 to 56. Those who believe that Jesus is God are in reality worshiping Satan because he is the creator of that lie and therefore the father of it. Reread John 8, 44 and 45. And he propagates it through his church on the earth, the Roman Catholic institution, and his minion, the Jesuit order, who ironically are called the Society of Jesus. You see, folks, the name Jesus comes from a pagan Greek mythical god called Zeus, and is not the son's real name. Therefore, when you call him Jesus, you're calling J-E-Z-E-U-S. You are calling him by a name that Satan delights in because he desires to be like the Most High, Isaiah 14:12-15. But Jesus' real name is Yahshua. Now here Alan's using that for the second time. This is what that goddess woman that he married, that Mexican lady that was of another race of people, that has exalted herself to be a god. She changed Yahshua's name. When she was in my church, she used to use Yahshua's name just like I taught her. But as she left me and broke off, became her own god, and took my number one elder with her, Alan DeLong, he permitted it. Then she changed the name of Yahshua, changed the name of the Father. And now she says the name of Yahshua is Yasha or Yashak. Y-S-H-A-A-K. Now in the Cleo Hebrew, Yahshua is only one name for the Son. Yahshua. He don't have four or five different names that he goes by. Other than titles, he has titles he goes by. But Yahshua is his real name. And so here this goddess woman, this goddess, has exalted herself as a high priestess to the throne of the Father, changed his name from Yahshua to Yasha, or Yashak, and comes from the name Yasharon. And her name is Sharon. Her birth name is Sharon, so she put Yah, Y-A, in front of her name, and she calls herself Yasharon. And she actually taking her birth name Sharon and putting the father's name in front of hers. And that's what I'm saying. She made herself a god, equal to Yahweh the Father. And that's what they're accusing Jesus is doing. With the name Yahshua, he's got the father's name in front of his name. And so they're saying, well, he's equal to the Father, co-equal. Well, that's what Yasharon, Alan DeLong's wife now, this Mexican lady, of another race of people. Alan DeLong at one time was with me in the house of David, the tribe of Judah. But he has since left the tribe of Judah. He's left the house of David and went and joined the house of Yasharon. A woman. If you want to learn more about Yasha and the Father's true name, please go to www.timeandlaws.wordpress.com for the conclusion. And Father Bodies, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end. And much study is the awareness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yahweh and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For the Yahweh shall bring every work into judgment. Every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes 12:2-14. Be not deceived, Yahweh is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Galatians 6:7-9. Will you be one of those who says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved, Jeremiah 20? Or will you be one who says, lo, this is our God, that we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Isaiah 25:9. Now to put it in the sacred name, we'll go read that again. Or will you be one who says, lo, this is our Savior, Yahshua. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Yahshua, our Redeemer. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And Yahshua has the plan of salvation through his blood. He's the author of the plan of salvation for the fallen mankind. Isaiah 25:9. For the choice is yours, my friend. If you believe lies, then you will of the flesh reap corruption, and your soul will be damned, and you will perish. But if you through the Spirit receive a love of the truth, that you might be saved, then you shall reap life everlasting. For we are in the harvest season, and the reaping has begun. May Yah, the Father, and Yahshua, his Son, bless you and help you to make the right choice, is my prayer for you, your servant and Messiah. Now see, Alan, and it says Alan DeLong. So Alan says, your servant and, he left out the article, he put Messiah, which is another pagan identity from the Greek and the Hebrew. Fundamental beliefs of Seventh-day Adventists by V.T. Hartoff. I guess he wrote this way back there in the 30s. I don't see a date on it. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Yahshua is risen upon thee. Isaiah 60:1. I'm using the sacred name no matter what. I'm not going to quote no more than I have to those pagan Babylonian titles that evil man has corrupted the scriptures with. I'm going to try to use it as much as I can, only refer to those pagan titles in parentheses or something like that. But what the deal is V.T. Hollis is going to show the Adventists that we are the same faith, and that he's going to express that we have the same fundamental beliefs of the truth that the Adventists had published in their manual. They had a church manual, and they published their fundamental beliefs in it. And so V.T. Hollis just went and he copied after their pattern, and he published the fundamental beliefs of the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. And he started it off with, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Yahshua is risen upon thee. Isaiah 60:1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound the alarm in my holy mountain, and let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Yahshua cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Joel 2:1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Isaiah 58:1. Okay, emerging in 1930, from within the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, the Church of the Latter Sins, the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist Association, has ever been committed unto the prophetic work predicted in Isaiah 52:1. Of the preparing the Latter Sin Church the last with the tares among the wheat for the final proclamation of the gospel in all the world, Matthew 24:14. Now, Brother Johnson, he had the final proclamation. The third feeding pastor, Gilead Center, 1970, Brother Johnson was giving the third and final proclamation of the from the Seventh-day Adventists through the Davidian Seventh-day Adventists for the Branch Davidian Seventh-day Adventists to declare the final proclamation for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, not for the then for the world. And then the BTL goes on to say, this association is common with the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. Hold certain fundamental beliefs, or the principal features of which together with a portion of the scriptural references upon which they are based, are originally summarized as follows. Number one, that the Holy Scriptures of the Old and the New Testaments were given by the inspiration of Yahweh, containing all sufficient revelation of His will to men, and are the only unerring rule of the faith and practice. 2 Timothy 3:15-17. Number two, that the Godhead, or Trinity, Godhead is only mentioned one time in the Scriptures. That is in Romans 1:20. It says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even to His eternal power and Godhead. Godhead is a two words compounded into a compound, a noun, making it one word, meaning one individual. Keep that in mind. The Trinity is not even in the Bible. B.T. Hall, I guess, was not aware of the controversy of the Catholic Church creating that Trinity, that triune, the three in, persons in one Godhead. And they made the Godhead a plural, a compound singular noun, singular word, but they made it into a plural, at least three, and then they called it the Trinity. And the Adventists swallowed it hook, line, sinker, and all. So anyway, Vitalis says, our fundamental belief, number two, is that the Godhead, or the Trinity, consists of the Eternal Father, a personal spiritual being, omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. And that's three words created by the Catholic Church. Infinite in wisdom and love. And then he says, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Eternal Father, through whom all things are created. V.T. Hoff is pointing out here, Yahweh the Father, I'll put the sacred name there, created all things through His Son. So he's got that preposition right here, created and through whom. So through whom, and through whom the salvation of the redeemed host will be accomplished. So he believes that salvation is going to be accomplished through the Son, all right enough. But he never mentions the blood. Never mentions the blood. And without the blood is the same thing as with trying to start a car up and drive down the road without any fuel in the gas tank. Sure, it'll run. But if you don't put fuel in that gas tank, it's just going to sit there and do nothing. If you don't have the blood flowing through the veins of our Redeemer, Yahshua, the powers in the blood, it does so many things. It washes you of your sins. It remisses your sins. It's used to pardon your sins with. But yet, it's never mentioned. All these preachers and all these prophets that are raised up, they teach about the plan of salvation. They teach about the Son, and He brings salvation to us. But they never mention the blood, hardly ever. Unless the blood just happens to come up in a scripture that they're quoting, and it's there in front of them already, has already been written, then they'll use the word blood. But they won't just create it and just put it in there where it belongs, if it's missing. They won't do that. They just read it like it is and go on and not understand what they're talking about. Fully. Okay. It says, for the Holy Spirit, as the third person of the Godhead, the great regenerating power and the work of the redemption, Matthew 28:19. Godhead is a title that only belongs to the Father. And so, to prove that, you go to 1 Corinthians, I believe chapter 11. To prove that, you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll prove it. Start with verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of the Yeshua. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. But I have you know that the head of every man is the Yeshua, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Yeshua is the Yahweh, the Father. So there it is, right there. Head, it shows who's the head and their progression. Paul started, he says, I'm a follower of Yeshua. Yeshua is a follower of Yahweh, the Father. So, let us go ahead now. And here, then Vitalis goes ahead and says, number three of the fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventists, or the Davidian Seventh-day Adventists, he's saying, number three now, that Jesus Christ is very God. Okay. That right there just negates everything that he had already said. All of what I just read to you about his fundamental beliefs about the Trinity, this three makes up the Godhead. And he did say that Yahshua, he as a son, was number two. And that the Holy Spirit was number three. And then he comes along and he says, now our third statement is that Jesus Christ is very God, being of the same nature and essence as the Eternal Father. So I want to reread that to you. Vitalis says, number three, fundamental beliefs of the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, is that Jesus Christ is very God. Well, that's what the Catholics established right off whenever they established the Trinity, way back to 1,500 years ago. Way back at the Council of Nicaea, 325, by Constantine. And that was the main thing that they wanted to get established. And it took them 1,000 years to finally get it fully established, but they got it done. And Vicky Holliff, he gives all these grandiose stand-up statements about the three, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, being three separate entities, all in one Godhead. Well, he's saying the same thing that Kathy said, introduced to the Christian world. But that there's three in one Godhead, and here Vicky Holliff is just parroting exactly what the Seventh-day Adventists were saying, and then he says, well, I'm saying the same thing they're saying. And then he says that Jesus Christ is very God, being of the same nature and essence as the Eternal Father. Oh, he was of the same nature and essence. Well, he created me in his image, Yahweh the Father, with his Son, created me in his image. And and he said in Ephesians chapter 3 that Yahweh put his spirit in man, put his spirit in man just like he did his son Yahshua. So I'm of the nature and essence of the Father as well. Okay. While retaining his divine nature, this is V.T. Hallett talking, he took upon himself the nature of the human family. Lived on the earth as a man, exemplified in his life as our example, as the principle of the righteousness, attested his relationship unto Yahweh by many mighty miracles, died for our sins on the cross. There it is out there, see. Died for our sins on the cross. Or famous Catholic teaching. It's a famous Catholic teaching. I mean, how can you substantiate any of these kind of statements? How can you go up to scriptures and prove what the prophet just said? Well, he died for our sins on the cross. And then, there in Hebrews chapter 9, he talks about a little different story there. Let's go read it. Mm-hmm. Well, it says in Hebrews chapter 9, it says, verse 24, for Yahshua has not entered into the holy places made with the hand, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of the Father for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Yahshua was once offered to bear the sins of many. This here was is a past tense adverb. And that past tense adverb modifies the present tense verb. Is your present tense verb. Was is your past tense modified verb. Meaning, it shows exactly when Yahshua died on the cross, whose sins he died for. And it sure wasn't mine here in the present tense. And it wasn't my sins in the past tense, because I wasn't living then. I'm only living in the present tense. In the is verb. Okay? So it says, Yahshua was once offered to bear the sins of many. Well, I thought that he died for everybody's sins. Because he died for our sins. Well, is that our many or is that all? And then it says right here, for you, Yahshua was once offered to bear the sins of many. 2,000 years ago, well, I'll put my parentheses in here and my contribution. 2,000 years ago, and unto them that look for him here in the end time, in the present tense, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Well, he didn't die for my sins. So when he appears the second time here in the end time, without sin, what has he done? He's operated as a high priest in the heavenly sanctuary for the last 2,000 years on a daily basis, taking away the sins of the people on a daily basis. So that when he makes the final atonement here in the last days, he will blot out the final sins of the repentant sinners that come up for the atonement, and the rest that don't come for the atonement, he blots out of his book. So that's how he fulfills this here in Hebrews 9:28. So the Yeshua was once offered, past tense 2,000 years ago. Offered is also a past tense adverb. Okay. So you have two past tense adverbs within three words here. To bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Don't get much clearer than that. Well, B.T. Hollis, he had access to this book, this Holy Scriptures, just as well as I do. And I've had all these years. And he was supposed to be a very Bible-read man. But folks, we're dealing with this here exposing this Trinity that the Catholic Church created. And here we have a prophet in Israel that Yahweh raised up for the second proclamation of the Seventh-day Adventist. Not only to the Adventist Church, but for the world. And V.T. Hollis had the letter Ring of Truth, and he published it. And that's what Brother Johnson used to make the third proclamation. That was 1970. Third and last proclamation for the Adventists to deliver to their brethren and the world. Okay? It says, He died for our sins on the cross, was raised from the dead, and ascended into the Father, where he ever liveth, to make the intercession for us. Well, why does he have to live to make the intercession for us if he died for my sins on the cross? Well, then that eliminates his priesthood of ever having to then go to heaven, go into the first apartment, and take on his priestly garments. And start ministering for mankind here on this earth. That's what he did for 2,000 years. Well, if he died for everybody's sins on the cross, he took care of their salvation. That's the doctrine that broke the back of the Adventist Church in the 1950s with that book, Questions on Adventist Answers Questions on Doctrine. And, that's what Desmond Ford, little guy from Australia, little Jesuit infiltrator, come and picked up that book, Adventist Answers Questions on Doctrine, and he went throughout the whole world, and he separated the Adventists by the millions, and told them that their salvation had already been bought and paid for at the cross, that they don't have to do anything now but just eat, drink, and be merry. From here on in, because their salvation has already been bought and paid for, taken care of at the cross, 2,000 years ago. And right here, V.T. Hollis is singing the same song. But yet, Yahweh let him go on and used him to publish the latter Ring of Truth in the three volumes of the Shepherd Rod. And we have to have this connecting link of prophecy. This is the spirit of prophecy. And the volume is form. And Sister White had the form of rain, V.T. Hollis has the letter rain. But I'm just saying, V.T. Hollis couldn't understand why he was being cut off when he was laying on his deathbed. He told his nurse, I believe, that was with him, said, well, if I die, he said, just carry on the work. And, what will we carry on? We won't know what to carry on. We won't have no spiritual leader. And so V.T. Hollis died, and sure enough, the flock scattered, fulfilling that there in Zechariah 13. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. Okay. So V.T. Hollis, he's given scripture references now that attesting his relationship to God Because says Yashur attested his relationship to God by many mighty miracles, died for our sins on the cross, and raised from the dead and ascended to the Father. For he ever liveth to make intercession for us. John 1:1, 14, Hebrews 2:9-18, Hebrews 8:1-2, Hebrews 4:14-16, and Hebrews 7:25. Now all these scriptures that I just quoted to you are supposed to back up that one thought that Christ died for our sins on the cross. Okay. Let's go ahead. Number four, he says, now the number four of his fundamental beliefs of what the Davidians believe, he said, number four, that every person, in order to obtain salvation, must experience the new birth. Well, now that's a true statement. That this comprises an entire transformation of the life and character by the recreated power of Yahweh through the faith. And instead of putting faith in the blood of the Yahshua, he just says through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he left out the article. I'll go back and put the article in. That will give it more clarity. He says that every person, in order to obtain salvation, must experience the new birth. That this comprises an entire transformation of the life and character by the recreated power of the Yahweh through the faith, I put the article in there, in the blood of the Yahshua. John 3:16, Matthew 18:3, Acts 2:37-39. Number five, that baptism is an ordinance of the Christian church. Now, isn't this amazing? Adventists all of a sudden got the title as a Christian church. That's the title that the Catholics took whenever they overthrew the apostolics in the first century. Imperial Rome took that title of Christian, because they had faithfully overthrown the apostolic congregation of the first century. They called themselves apostolics. The enemy changed their name to Christian, and the Catholic Church picked up on it, adopted it, called themselves Christian, and now the Adventists picked it up and called themselves Christian. And B.T. Hall is a prophet that Yahweh raised up in the Adventist Church to break the back of the Adventist Church with the Davidian shepherd rod. He just sings along their own, their tune that they sung, Christian church. Well, I go to visit a Baptist church, a Methodist church, and they said, well, we're this true Christian church. Okay. Well, I go to the Adventist church, they say, we're the true Christian church. If I was to go to a Catholic church, they would tell you they're for sure the true Christian church. And if I was to go to a Lutheran or a Presbyterian or a Church of Christ, any of those, Baptist, Methodist, if I was to go to a Unitarian church, one of those cultic churches, Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, they'd all say we're the true Christian church. So the Adventists, you see, they got caught up with it because they were that seventh head that woman set up on, Mr. Bowden set up on that seventh head of the seven heads that represents the seven churches of Asia. And those seven churches, you know what they were. Yahshua in the Revelation 1 named them. He called them Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Seven churches of Israel, because they all had a candlestick. And they were called Hebrew Israelites. But we come along today and we call those seven churches that were called Hebrew Israelites, we call them Christian churches. Seventh-day Adventist Church, the seventh Hebrew Israelite church to come on the scene, call themselves Christian church. Okay. Nietzsche Hollis, he don't know no better. And he's a prophet with inspiration. He don't know no better. And Ben Roden succeeded Nietzsche Hollis after he died. Ben Roden didn't know no better. Then to continue on that dialogue of Christian church. Brother Johnson did the same thing in 1970. And then when Yahshua come to the Christian Gilead Center there, when he came to Gilead Center, there at Kermit, Texas, when he came to Gilead Center, made a name change and also made a change of the guard, of the leadership. He closed out the old guard, Brother Johnson, that was of the Christian Church at Gilead Center, and he changed it to the Mount Zion at the 12th hour of the Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, House of David. Hebrew Israelite, tribe of Judah, took back Israel's true identity. And when Yahshua came and did that, Brother Johnson rebelled against it and rose up and threw me out of the church. And when he threw me out of the church, he threw Yahshua back out of the church. He didn't realize it. Yahshua come to make the name change and everything, and give Brother Johnson the message that all he had to do is repent, and he could follow on with the new name change and join the new movement of the House of David. Instead, he rose up against it, and not only did he throw me out, but he threw out Yahshua as well. That came to his own, and it says they received him not. That's fulfilled that scripture where it says Yahshua came to his own, and they received him not. They rejected him. That's what happened. This brings the close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. It's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. This brings the end of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. We're going to close now with a song entitled The Haven of Rest. My soul is an exile who was out on my sea. So burdened with sin and distress, till I heard the sweet voice saying, make me your choice. And I entered the haven of rest. I planted my soul in the haven. And I've rest, I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, in Yahshua I'm safe evermore. I yielded myself to his tender embrace, and faith taking hold of the word, I fell off and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my king. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. For the tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, in Yahshua I'm safe evermore. For the song of my soul and to Yahshua made me whole has been
Your son is so blessed. And that you want to say, whosoever will have a home in the haven of rest. Awake in my soul, in the haven of rest, I'll sail the white seas no more. For the tempest may sleep, for the wild storm may be, in Yahshua I'm safe evermore. How precious the thought that we all may recline, like John the Beloved and blessed. On Yahshua's strong arm, where no tempest can harm, secure in the heaven of rest. Anchored my soul in the haven of rest, I'll say the white seas no more. For the tempest may sleep, for the wild storm may be, in Yahshua I'm safe evermore. Oh, come to the Savior,
what?
He patiently waits to save by His power divine. Come thank in your soul in the heaven of rest, and say, my beloved is mine. Thank you, my soul, in the haven of rest, I'll say the white seas no more. For the tempest may cease, for the wild storm may be, I'm safe in Yahshua evermore. Come to the Savior, He patiently waits to save by His power divine. Come back to your soul in the haven of rest, and say, my beloved is mine. Awaken my soul in the haven of rest, I'll say the white seas no more. For the tempest may sweep, for the wild storm may be, in Yahshua I'm safe ever.